And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So, if you didn't catch it in the gospel reading, the action here is all in Jesus' name, or names, since he's also called Emmanuel. And the reason the name is such a big deal is because in Jesus' case, his names tell us not just who he is, but also what he has come to do. And it turns out, you and I, we need what he does. So let's start at the beginning and give our attention to three details. First, the name Jesus. Secondly, the virgin birth. And third, the name Emmanuel. Now, most of us are already familiar with Joseph and his plight. In the Old Testament, a betrothal was not like what we call an engagement these days. In our culture, while an engagement proclaims the intention of a couple to marry, they are not regarded as married by the laws of the state. Hence, if there is unfaithfulness during the engagement, there are no civil penalties, and the couple is free to break things off or reconcile as they wish. Not so with the civil code of the Old Testament. A betrothal was considered equivalent to marriage, with the exception that the couple did not yet live together. But in all other ways, they were bound by the laws of marriage. Hence, Mary being found with child that wasn't from Joseph was considered adultery, plain and simple. And the penalty was harsh. If a case was brought against Mary, she could have been stoned and killed along with the child she carried. So Joseph resolved to divorce her quietly. All he needed to do was say that something about her displeased him, and it was over. Yes, there would have been some scandal, but Mary would be free, and there would be no accusation of adultery. But that was not God's purpose. He willed, at the right time, to bring forth the Messiah born of a woman born under the law. And so Joseph saw an angel of the Lord in a dream, and we come to that first name, Jesus. Now, that's the Greek version of his name. In Hebrew, it is Yahshua, or what we commonly know as Joshua. But this name is everything. For this first syllable, Yah, that stands for the divine name, Yahweh. And then the next two syllables, Shua, make the verb to save. Hence, the name literally means God saves, Yahshua. Who is this child conceived of Mary? He is Yah, he is God. And what has he come to do? To save us. And why, God? Because it turns out you and I, we could not save ourselves. And what do we need saving from? Well, obviously from sin and from death and from the devil. In that dream, with that name, Joseph was told that God's long-promised plan to redeem all the fallen humanity was at last ratcheting forward. And he, Joseph, was to be a part of it, caring for this child as his own until the time came for Jesus to be presented to Israel. So that's the first name. And then there's the virgin birth. The child is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to drift into the tall grass here, but what the angel briefly set before Joseph was the how of this child being God come to save. By the Holy Spirit, and with Mary's own flesh as the matrix, God was joining himself to our human nature in this unique child. You see, there had been other miraculous births in the history of God's people. Women who were past the age of childbearing, who were regarded as barren, suddenly bringing forth life. But all those children were human, pure, and simple. They all had human fathers contributing DNA. Here, with Jesus, was something never dreamed of. A human child who was also God. His DNA being formed from nothing by God's creative and powerful word and then joined to Mary's flesh. Here was God and man in one person. Why? Well, because as the ancient church proclaimed, what God does not take to himself, he cannot redeem. And what God does not join himself to remains alienated from him. And that's our problem. That this is what we've inherited from Adam and Eve. That we're alienated from God, our Creator. We are hostile to our Father, who is life itself. We are turned away from him and turned in on ourselves. And thus we became mired in death and darkness. Only by taking us to himself in the flesh of Jesus, born of Mary, could God then draw us out of ourselves and turn us back to him. Only in Jesus born of Mary could God address our sin, our death, our corruption with his life, his love, and his grace. So we have the first name, Jesus. We have the why of the virgin birth. And then we get to that second name, Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel is the Hebrew for with us, and El is the Hebrew for a divine entity, for God. Hence, Emmanuel is God with us. Again, we know who this child is. He's God, but this time, he's not just come to save, he's also come to be with us so that we can be with him. He has come to us in the flesh to be beside us, to walk with us, to have us as his own, even as we have him as ours. And because he has come in the flesh, he is tangibly present with us in the valleys and on the mountaintops. He is with us in joy and sorrow. He is with us when we are overcome by loneliness and when we are basking in the company of family and friends. He is with us when we are young and when we are burdened with many years. He is with us in the darkness and in the light. He is with us in sickness and health, in life and death, always with us to shield and guard and guide, to forgive, to comfort, to strengthen. God is not some fond thought. He's not some grand idea. He's no fleeting feeling. He is Yahshua. He is Emmanuel. He is the virgin born in our flesh, one of us who's come to redeem us. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may remember that in the Te Deum, we sing that the Son of the Most High, God of God, Light of Light, Very God of Very God, humbled himself to be born of a virgin. And over the years, folks have asked me, why being born of a virgin would be humbling? Well, this is another place where the English betrays us once again. The humbling of himself that Jesus took on was to be born like any other child. Weak, helpless, dependent. In his humanity, he knew no words, only whether he was content or safe or hungry or warm or not. In all that, he set aside the power and the majesty of his divine nature to know our condition in this world from the ground up, if you will. That he was born of a virgin is just a historical fact that points to his divine nature. And having come to us as one of us, he remains with us. For as we noted a couple of weeks ago, Jesus still comes to us here and now as the God-man to absolve us, to wash us in the waters of holy baptism, to share his nature, his birth, his death, his resurrection with us, to feed us with his own body and blood at this altar in order to forgive us and strengthen us for the works that he set before us. So this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we look toward Christmas, let us cherish his names, Yahshua, Emmanuel, and rejoice that the virgin born has come to us. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.